Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and I'm here with Michael Brazenly.
Hi everyone.
For our promised part two of the Route Protection Guide. So we're going to pick up right where we left off. As we record this, it's only like 2 minutes after we finished the last recording.
Right.
But, you know, for you guys, it's been a couple of days.
Right.
So, let's get back into it.
Yeah, we're separating it because, you know, it's easier.
Trying to keep the episodes manageable.
Yeah, trying to keep you stay awake.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to be doing those 3 hours.
You get a little boring because, you know, you've heard like, probably Corey Walton's and you've heard the Next Generation Carriers and you've heard from...
Fed Up. He had one that was like 6 hours.
I think CCA Corner 2. And,
yeah, there's plenty of them that go along. And that's fine.
Rowdy Val. Which,
I mean, dude, I still listen to them all the way through.
Right.
You know, that Fed Up.
Now, this is our version.
Yeah. Yep. And I'll be honest, when we finally get into season 6, when the new JCAM comes out, I'll do some marathon reading sessions where the episodes are going to be over an hour.
Right.
You know, depending on how it breaks up.
Funny, by the time the new JCAM comes, the contract is over.
Dude, I know. And, you know, I mean, listening to Renfro on Fight Like Hell, he keeps saying, like, soon, it'll be out soon. It's like, dude, just don't use that word anymore. That word has been tainted.
Yeah. Because everything that he says soon, that could be 2 years.
Right. All right. So are you ready to get back into this?
Of course.
Okay. So we did last time, it was just AM office. Mm-hmm. We did some intro and then how to protect your route in the morning. Now we talk about stuff when you're out on the street.
Yes.
So.
Oh, just one thing before we continue.
Sure.
During the route eval, the person that's checking you, doing the
route. Yeah, the route inspector.
They are supposed to have the good knowledge of how to do the route eval.
Yeah, okay. Of course. They're supposed to be trained.
They're supposed to be trained. So if you feel like they're not being trained, they don't know what they're doing, you need to write that statement and give it to your steward because that is a grievance also.
Yeah, anything that they're doing inappropriately during your inspection is fuel for subsequent grievances. Right.
And another thing, if they try to give you instruction that is not safety and how to deliver the mail, that's another grievance. You need to write that statement.
True. Any instructions they give you about how to deliver.
Because they're not supposed to give you any instructions how to deliver the mail.
Right.
They're supposed to just take notes and then they were supposed to give those notes to the supervisor and then have the supervisor do whatever they want to do after the eval.
Right.
But not during the eval.
That is correct. Okay, here we go. Street delivery. First, work at a safe and precise pace. You may want to rush to do your job, considering management always asks us to, and you may want to get home at a reasonable time. But don't let these considerations work against our obligations to our safety and the public. We need to deliver the mail safely and correctly. This will also protect your route from being added to. If you rush and take shortcuts, you will not have a reasonable estimation of how long your route takes. Further, we have no street standard for walking. It takes what it takes, and you should move at your own pace. You could be doing this for 30 more years. Don't kill your knees or your back and overfill your satchel or carry heavy boxes. Dismount heavy parcels or spurs and use dollies.
Okay, so how many carriers, that senior carriers, that has a hard time walking, knee problems.
Dude, so many.
Elbow problems, I mean.
When we were at the union meeting last night, there was that lady in front of us who could barely stand up.
Right.
Yep.
So, and if you really look, those are most of the carriers that always runs.
I mean, this is the problem, right? You beat up your body
and,
early in your career. You have to think about what's a sustainable pace over the long haul.
So that you don't get damaged, so that when you retire... So you can actually retire with enjoyment, not because you're hurting because you were trying so hard to please management.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, you have to think about what's sustainable. And I've heard from 8-hour carriers who, if they get mandated, they automatically call in sick for work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And if management gives them a hard time, they're like, dude, I'm on the 8-hour list for a reason. My body doesn't work. You know, I'm not built to keep going like that. So if you're going to work me past what my body can handle, I'm going to get exhausted and I'm going to have to call in.
Right.
And so that, you know, again, that just speaks to that pace. I just heard an interview.
And that is why there's no standard.
Yes, that is why there is no standard. That's exactly right.
Yeah. They can call it standard, but it's a guide.
I've said it on here, and it's something that I've asked stewards about when I interview them. How many times have you had to defend a carrier for walking too slowly or delivering the mail too slowly? And the answer is always like, never. And the other day on Parcels of Knowledge, Joshua interviewed James Henry. And James Henry said the exact same thing. And this is somebody with a tremendous amount of experience. He's like, I've never had to defend a carrier being disciplined for their pace.
Right.
You defend carriers for safety violations, for, you know, misdelivering the mail, for mishandling things or whatever.
Because management knows they will get in trouble for trying to discipline somebody for
being too slow. It would never hold up. Yep.
Because number one thing that we'll bring up is that that's a safety violation. Because right. you're making somebody go hurried.
Yeah.
It could cause an accident.
Right.
Okay. That's happened many, many times. Mm-hmm. So that is a number one thing that management will never use to discipline you.
Right.
Okay? Because if they do and you name them, they'll get a phone call from right. somebody at
upper up. Yeah, well, this person told me I needed to hurry up.
Yeah, yeah. And saying being unsafe. And they will get reamed for that.
Yeah, and then at the other end of that, if you're out there rushing and you're cutting the corners of safety, if management sees you, they're not going to pat you on the back. Hey, thanks for rushing. You're going to get disciplined for the safety violations.
And this is where some people are rushing, thinking they get away with it because you'll get favoritism from management.
Right.
But then there are times when there's a safety blitz you heard about, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they bring management other stations, okay? Yeah. They don't have any loyalty to that person.
They do not.
So you do something wrong, they will remove you off the street. And your supervisor, who you think owes favoritism.
Right.
They're not going to do anything.
Neck out for you.
Because they're not going to say, it's okay for you to break those safety rules.
Right, yeah.
They'll get yelled at for
that. John doesn't have to wear his seatbelt.
Yeah.
I like him to rush. I like to get done in undertime.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. They'll get themselves in trouble.
Right. All right, so more on street delivery. Do not finger mail when driving, walking up or down steps or curbs, crossing streets, or at any time that it would create a safety hazard to the carriers or the public.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, that is also you're trying to hurry. Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, don't look at the GPS while you're driving. Don't look at a map while you're driving.
Sure.
You know, don't look at your phone while you're driving.
Right.
Okay. When you're driving, you should have both of your hands on the steering wheel. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is pretty safe. Okay. Because we want all carriers to not have any type of accident and lose your life.
Right.
Okay. We want you to be safe. So, you know, please, when you drive, drive safely.
Right. It says don't finger the mail. And I would add, don't finger other things either. Like, you're not even supposed to have passengers in the truck.
Well, I think I've seen some people get in trouble for that.
Yeah. Dude, there's videos. Oh, my God.
Let's not go to that.
All right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, even for like parking loop like you do, don't finger the mail while you're walking to go to the next house or whatever.
Well, it's when you're up and down curves. Like if you're on a flat sidewalk, that's when you're supposed to finger the mail.
And not walk.
Yeah.
Not supposed to walk.
It is while you're going from one house to the other, but not while you're on any surface where it might be unsafe.
No, you're not supposed to do that while you're walking.
It's not what it says here. The M41 section 133.2. talks about it. That will be the ultimate arbiter. Do we need to pull up that section?
We may have to do it later. Let's do that right. later for, okay. on that part.
All right.
Okay? But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't do parking loops, so Alan might know on this more than I do. But for me, always be safe.
Yeah, it's why these things are specified.
The ABS, anti-lock brakes, right?
Okay.
Always be safe.
Oh, yeah. All right. Next, do not cut lawns unless it is specifically safe to do so. Keep an eye out during Halloween and Christmas time when decorations are out. Dude, I just stepped on somebody's decorations yesterday. Mm-hmm. Also, be aware when construction is going on and ensure that you give all potential obstacles a wide berth.
I have a short story on that.
Let me finish this around.
No, it'll be real quick about
that. Okay, workers are prone to leave shovels, unfilled holes, and other tools of their trade lying around. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is as safety conscious as we are or should be. Go ahead.
So we're in Las Vegas, right?
Agreed.
There's not much grass.
No, not anymore.
Okay, they're mostly rocks and,
zero
and sand or dirt, right?
Yep.
So
cactus.
This one house, I deliver parcels by crossing their yard, which is just rocks,
right,
and sand.
Yeah.
Okay. And they complained saying that I walked on their lawn.
Dude, what are you going to kill their rocks?
So they got angry that I walked on their lawn. So they decided to come out to videotape me with the cell phone.
Oh, I've had that happen. Yeah.
And I said, ma'am, are you really angry because I walked on your rocks?
Right.
I mean, I can understand why you might get angry if it was the lawn with grass that you just watered or planted, but this is rocks.
So there are a couple of things at play here. So first, in the actual rule book, in the M41, it says as long as it's safe to do so and the customer does not object.
Yeah.
So if they object, then regardless of the situation, then we'll walk on the path. Mm-hmm. I certainly have houses on my own route where they don't want me to walk across the rocks. But I want to go a little more into that because there are actual reasons why people may not want you to walk through the rocks.
But also there is a part in there where the rule says to cross.
Yeah, the rule says to cross the lawn there. Unless there's a safety issue.
I don't remember or saying that if the customer objects. I don't remember seeing that on the thing.
Okay. I taught it every week in the academy forever. Okay. You want me to go look it up?
I'll
look it up.
So those are things we might have to bring up.
Dude, I'll look it up right now.
You know? No. Let's go over
I'm confident about this one. All right. But anyway, also with the rocks, there may be irrigation tubing under the rocks. And because the rocks are jagged, it can puncture the irrigation tubing. Because you're stepping on the rock hits the irrigation tubing. So I've had that be an issue. And then the other thing is sometimes people's rocks are laid out like in a fancy pattern. Mm-hmm. And as you walk along, if you don't pick up your feet, you wind up kicking the rocks. And, you know, it messes up their fancy pattern, like the border that they're trying to create or something like that. And then the third thing is with grass, if you take different pads each time, like the grass will recover and it'll spring back up. But on rock or something that's unchanging, you can actually wear a path into that rock that they're going to have to go out and rake to get it to re-flatten. And so those are reasons why people may not want you to walk across their rocks.
I can tell
take it from park and loop person.
Well, I can tell you this right now. Because of the desert, the ground doesn't move.
I hear you. Right. And I walk across lawns unless people object.
Okay.
Yeah. Or if it's unsafe. Okay.
Well, I can tell you this right now. When the customer came and objected, and that was the answer that I gave them was, you know, it's only rocks, right?
Right, exactly. Dude, yeah, I had a lady film me walking across her yard, mm-hmm. and she says, I'm going to send this to your boss. I'm like, go ahead. I'm going to get mm-hmm. a pat on the back for doing what I'm supposed to do.
And then you know what my other answer was? You know, your vehicle is blocking the sidewalk. Because you know how the house is built where they have the front door that goes and it goes, the sidewalk goes right into the driveway.
Yeah, sure.
And they park their like SUV.
Oh yeah, so you can't even get to their
sidewalks unless you cross it.
Absolutely.
And that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I had to cross it.
How else are you supposed to? All right, then no access. Then
and you don't get so what? You don't want me to deliver the mail to your front door?
Right.
That's exactly what I asked them. Do you want me to not deliver the package to your door? No, that's not what I'm asking.
Well, okay. then I don't know what you want me to get there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Dude, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
All right, dude, this next one's going to be really controversial. What it says...
that's why when you and I talk... we're here.
I will tell you, I'm reading ahead a little bit. What it says in this protection guide is 100% accurate. And mm-hmm. you will see people on Facebook saying different, and they're mm-hmm. wrong.
Okay. All right, let's find out.
Okay. If you have mounted delivery and the box is blocked, the default action is to dismount. That's what it says in the M41.
Okay. But you got to look at other things too. Is it safe?
Yeah. And that's the caveat, like in the academy, it says mm-hmm. dismount where it's safe to do so.
Right.
Almost, I mean, because we dismount the truck all the time. It's not an inherently unsafe thing.
If it's blocked.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have to park in the middle of the street. Is that safe?
No, that is not safe.
Okay. There you go.
Likewise, if it's blocked like by trash cans and mm-hmm. you'd have to move the trash cans in mm-hmm. order to get to the box, no, you don't do that either because you're not going to move somebody else's trash can. But generally, it'll be like there's a car that's mm-hmm. parked where you want to park. And so you have to go a little bit down the street and park there instead. Well, that's what route protection is all about. It takes a little bit of extra time, but that's what you're going to do. There's plenty of videos out there of people in their truck, like driving into the trash can and pushing it down the street a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to say I've never done that. Mm-hmm. But again, the default is to dismount. Like, dude, I had a stop and hop. One of my old regular carriers, Chris, who was a regular listener to the show, where it was sidewalk delivery, what we call stop and hop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was doubles that were in between two driveways. And so you hop out, you put the mail in both boxes, you hop back in. Mm-hmm. Well, on trash day, that's where people always put their freaking trash cans.
Right.
And so So on trash day, I would put that on my 3996 that, you know, instead of just hopping out, now I'm going to have to find places to park. I'm going to have to walk back to these boxes. There was no safety issue because there was a whole sidewalk worth of distance between the trash can and the box.
So I'm going to tell you this right now. What's the trash company's name?
Republic Services.
Republic Services. Yes. Okay. We've had lots of problems with them. You know why?
Why?
Because they put on their ad for new residents to put the trash cans in front of the mailbox.
No, do they really?
They did. Okay. That was a major problem. So, but
because, that pisses me off. There's so much other
that,
space.
Yeah, because of that, that caused a major problem. And it caused problems with even mail carriers.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's causing mail carriers more time, and it's pissing management off. So you're fighting with management all the time.
Right.
And so it caused a lot of rift between the trash guys and the mail carriers.
Sure.
And so sometimes some of the mail carriers would mess with the trash cans and they'll carry it and push it behind a car,
right,
the side of the car. So it'll be hard for them to get the trash cans. And you know, these games that they were playing between and the trash person will play games on the mail person by putting the trash cans in a place where
right,
where the mail from,
right,
or the more smelliest, so they'll put it in front of the mailbox. They do all that stuff. So a lot of people are fighting back and forth, right. But you know what's happening now?
Tell me.
Now the new letter from the Republic Service says, do not put trash cans in front of the mailbox.
Thank goodness.
So they finally are just putting on there, says, do not put trash cans in front of the mailbox.
It drives me crazy. You got like 20 yards of open sidewalk.
So when people complain now,
right,
you can say, your Republic Service says, do not put trash in front of the mailbox.
Thank goodness.
So please do not do that.
Okay, so to go on with the bullet point here, mm-hmm. It says, remember, this is about time. Mm-hmm. Every blocked mailbox needs additional time.
Yes.
Get out and remember to update the time requested on your 3996 due to blocked mailboxes, mm-hmm. especially when excessive, like on trash day mm-hmm. and Saturdays. Also, make sure you safely deliver that mail without causing harm to the car. Be careful and ensure no one is in the car. They may see your truck and move to get out of the way. So park where they can potentially see you and where they won't pull up or back into your vehicle. Go ahead.
So on this, as a regular carrier, you get that form. I forget the name of the form.
The one that says, like, your box needs attention?
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the boxes that you can check out is do not block the mailbox.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And so what I do is I check that, of course, mm-hmm. and then the comments that do not put any obstacles there in front of the mailbox. That includes vehicles, trash cans, etc.
Right.
Okay? That could delay or stop the mail. Okay, so and then I put that on there, and then I post it on the CBU. Okay.
Oh yeah, especially when people park right in front of the CBU.
Right.
Sure.
So I put it on the CBU, so everybody in the whole neighborhood could see it. Right. And so you do that, and you do that as a regular, consistently.
Yeah.
As time goes on, it gets stopped.
Right. Yeah.
And so
people get used.
So
to
now
it.
It's. Extremely rare that somebody put trash cans or vehicles in front of the mailbox. Yeah.
So okay. I take, with trash cans, I'm with you. As far mm-hmm. as parked cars, I actually take the complete opposite stance, where my opinion is I'm only going to be there for about a minute. And these people live there. They might be going back to their car multiple times or whatever. They have way more right to that space than I do.
Actually,
I'm not going to say somebody can't park in front of their house because I need to be at their mailbox for a minute.
So it is not illegal for people to park the vehicle in front of the mailbox.
Right.
Okay. But I'm talking about where I deliver, where
cluster boxes.
With the cluster boxes, and it makes it very inconvenient, okay?
Right.
But this is where most people don't understand. Mm. The CCRFs of the HOA, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Every one of them says, please do not park your vehicle in front of the mailbox.
I'm sure that's
so
true.
That your neighbors have access to the mailbox.
And in many cases, there'll be a red curb there, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily a no parking, like you're going to get a ticket in the mail truck. It's to save it for the mail truck.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, okay. That is absolutely
and
true.
And so when people do that, you can also, because your HOA says don't park here.
Right. Okay, so going on, it says, do not bring the mail back for redelivery unless specifically instructed to do so. If you are, make sure to file a grievance for improper instructions. It takes the district manager to approve a delivery service withdrawal for that address.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see that on... Yeah. Oh, and this is in the Postal Operations Manual 632.14. Yeah.
What does a withdrawal mean?
It means that they don't get mail anymore.
Right.
Yeah, okay. That you're cutting them off completely.
If for whatever reason, you cannot deliver that box, like mine, at CBU for the day.
Yeah.
You're not withdrawing it.
No.
It's only for that day.
Right.
Okay? If you cannot park anywhere safe for you to deliver.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if you are able to park somewhere and deliver, you could walk back.
Yeah, that's right. That's what
mail.
You should do.
Okay.
Yes.
And when you have to do that a lot, then you're going to have to ask for more time.
Right. That just adds to your time. And that's what this whole list is all about.
And so this when you ask for more time. Then, and management's like, why are you taking so much time? Then you give them that form.
Right.
And for them to sign it.
Right. Because this has been, I don't want a withdrawal service. I don't mind, like, the whole purpose here is that this is the time it takes to do the job properly.
Right. If you do this every day, you might have one or two people that might block the bike, especially new residents.
Yeah.
And then you're out almost every trash day is really not that bad.
Yeah, sure. And this is why, you know, the people who abide by all this stuff, this is why they have cupcake routes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're doing the route the right way every day. There's not really a big downside to doing the route correctly.
And the regulars, I mean, you talk to the neighbors all the time. They see you every day.
Yeah.
And you tell people, like, hey, please, you know, can you not put something in front of the mailbox so that I can come in? Yeah. Once I deliver the mail, please, you can park there or anything you want. But as long as I deliver the mail.
Right. If I was the regular, because I always had these issues when I was a T6, on a parking loop, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I was the regular, I was like, oh, who cares? I'm only here one day a week. You know, that's between the regular and their customer. Mm-hmm. And it was the same for like janky boxes and stuff like that.
And you can ask my T6. My route is nice because
I'm sure.
Yeah, trash day, nobody parks.
You got a cupcake route too. Yeah.
Well, but again, then there's nobody parks in front of my mailbox, and there's maybe two people, and that's it. Every
and doing those things that takes time too. You know, to fill out that slip, to make sure that the people know, like, hey,
it's called 10 years of worth of work of trying to get people to stop doing that. It's always the new residents that mess up, and I blame it on California because most of the time there's California plate.
All right, moving on. Speaking of talking to the residents. Answer all resident communications and take care of our residents. Do not linger unnecessarily, but do communicate when a resident would request you do so. Answer all inquiries courteously. If the inquiry or complaint cannot be answered or settled to the resident's satisfaction, or if it's contrary to the instructions that you are given, courteously direct the person to the office of the official in charge for further information or further attention.
Yeah, talking to the customers or neighbors.
Yeah.
Some of the neighbors, they want to talk and talk.
Yeah,
and
they just want to chit-chat.
And then when you're on the route for a while, then it's like every neighbor wants to talk to you.
Sure.
So you have to watch your time and say, hey.
Yeah, I got to go back to work.
I got to get back to work.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, that's part of a customer service. That's the reason why most neighbors like you, because you do talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, because you are there every day.
Right. Yeah, we're part of the community. Mm-hmm. That's part of the magic of being a mailman.
Yes.
Okay, next. Do not knock and drop packages. We should be knocking and or ringing the doorbell and waiting a reasonable amount of time. This time can depend on the house or the resident's age, the size of the house, but ultimately, when do you think someone is not coming to the door? So knock and give the amount of time to allow the resident to go to the front door to receive their package from us directly. Unless the house's current resident gives us specific written instructions to leave those packages. Introduce yourself, be respectful, and hand it to your resident. It is important to remember that we're not UPS, FedEx, or Amazon. Our service and interactions with our resident protect our jobs.
Okay. On that, I have a say on that.
Sure.
That is going beyond to help our customers, okay?
It's that, what's in the M41.
That is going beyond.
Okay.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Okay. Because our M41 hasn't changed any of these rules in a long time. That's the old way of making sure. Because back in the day, we get less than 10 parcels.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And so when you get less than 10 parcels, you know, then you were going to the door because you know the customer. So you do that.
Before COVID, I did that all the time.
Right.
So now I'll be honest, right? Listeners, we're being honest here. I do this if it's a place where I'm concerned that the packages might get stolen. You know, if there's a good, like where I deliver now, people have these big yards and they're all spread out. Hold on, Michael.
Or pillars.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Where you can hide it from the street because porch pirates are looking for targets of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have a good place for me to leave their package, fine, I'll leave it there. But like whenever I do auxiliary assistance and I'm delivering to like an apartment complex, every single time I knock on the door, I wait for the person to answer.
And people have boxes that says, please put packages in this box.
Yeah. Well, that would be what it says in here, that you have a written instruction from the resident. Right, exactly.
And so just put it in the box.
Right.
It doesn't take more than a couple seconds, so who cares?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. All right, moving on. It says we have the highest favorability ratings we have the highest favorability ratings for a reason. Those who came before us built relationships with our residents that benefit us to this day, and we should continue to build on that for our survival.
Yeah. So this is where I was talking about how we had 10 parcels back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, now we're getting like 100 to 200 parcels a day from a lot of the carriers.
Imagine how short your route would be if you did this.
Exactly. If you only had 5-10
packages. Dude. If you have 100 and you knock on the door and you wait every time, imagine how short your route would be.
Right. That would be like all day.
Yeah, right. And you'd only have like 40 stops on your route.
Right.
And dude, that's the kind of route you want. That's the point, Michael. That's the point of this list. Okay.
And then Madge will play their game and try to make you hurry, all that stuff. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So you point them to the M41.
I understand that you cause more time so that you can do all these things. Yeah, I understand. This is something that's being taught up to by everybody. Okay. Yeah. But you also, this is what everybody says, but you also want to eliminate some headache from management too for some of these carriers, right? And that's, I'm just going with what the carriers are thinking.
Go ahead, say your nonsense.
Not what should be, but this is what other carriers are thinking. Okay. A lot of CCAs are thinking, okay? They know they got to run because that's how management's going to treat them. Because if you don't run, management's going to treat them like shit.
They take them off the schedule. Okay, that's the schedule, concern.
All that stuff, okay? Yep. Do you really think we're going to get that service from CCAs? Probably not. Okay.
Okay.
Not for every package anyway.
Well, okay? Luckily the route is not adjusted to them anyway. It's adjusted to the regular carrier.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. But again, this is the thing we're talking about in the CC, mm-hmm. to learn and so forth. And there are some other regulars that who does that too, overtime carriers and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they look at it, they're not going to take the time and sit there and wait for a customer. They may ring the doorbell. Okay. But mm-hmm. you know why I don't ring the doorbell?
Shift workers, babies, dogs. It's disruptive.
Dogs.
Yeah, it's disruptive.
Dogs. Sure. No, it's not that disruptive for babies or whatever, okay? Because anybody can ring the doorbell,
mm-hmm.
okay? The reason for it is you don't ring the doorbell is that a lot of people, this is what they do. They ring the doorbell, and they walk back to the truck.
Sure.
Okay? What happens when somebody opens the door, grabbing a package while you're walking to the door?
So look, dude.
Your back is turned around. Yeah. You don't see what's coming.
You're telling people something inconsistent with the M41.
I know, but I'm also telling them I've seen some carriers. Yeah. Well, don't get bit by a dog for that. Okay? So when you're going to ring the doorbell,
I need your satchel.
Make sure you are that somebody answers or whatever before you walk away.
Sure.
Okay? Because if you don't, there's a high chance you can get bit. Because when they open the
door,
if you're
not paying attention, yeah, absolutely.
And if it's some kid open the door, they're not going to be able to hold on to their pit bull.
Right. As someone who has done park and loop for a long time, this has happened to me many times. Mm-hmm. You know, the dog comes right out the front door, and that's mm-hmm. where the attack happens.
Right.
So I always, after I knock on the door, I back up mm-hmm. and give enough space so that I have time to react in case that dog comes out.
Or certified mail, you know, you need some signature.
Oh, yeah, same thing. I back way
especially
up.
Especially when you're a dog, you walk way back.
Yeah, and once I got into the habit of backing up, then it makes me think about like when a salesperson, like a solar salesman will mm-hmm. come and knock on my door and they're standing like right at the front door. I don't want to open the door because I don't know who that person is, and that puts me in danger as well.
Mm-hmm.
So backing up from the door, not only does it protect you, but it also protects the resident and makes you non-threatening.
And then when you need a signature, I've had a lot of residents that just come out the door to sign it,
uh-huh.
which is a lot easier because you don't have to worry about the door opening up.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, I've had that happen where, like, mid-signature, the dog comes bolting out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, dude.
Because they're not holding the door because they're signing.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yep. Okay, moving on. By the way, this is covered, if you want to see the truth and not the nonsense Michael tells you, mm-hmm. it's in section 322.311 of the
nonsense
M41.
That I tell.
Yeah, about doing the ring and run.
Uh-huh.
Dude, I mean, again.
No. If we're being... I said don't do that.
Okay.
Don't ring the doorbell and go back to the vehicle.
Right, right.
Because you do, you have a high chance you might get bit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on. The next bullet point says, you may think I don't have time or who cares, but in 2024, $12 billion in packages were stolen. Other services may not care, but USPS has made it necessary for us to care, especially around apartments where it's most likely to occur. Talking about package theft.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does this protect the belongings of the people who make purchases, but can also add significant time to our routes, which is something we should care about. Remember, it takes what it takes. So fill out a 3986 or RIMS management to give them an updated time if your package volume requires more time. This is becoming increasingly important as our mail volume falls and package volume rises. Management would love to see us eat the time and ignore our standards to make up for the increase in packages so they can cut our routes and eliminate our jobs. If they don't like it, they can change the requirements. All right. Yep. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. It's a lot of the language that we have in our contract and our M41 and even M39.
Yeah.
Including our JCAM. A lot of the language that's in it is back when we were doing park and loop, like you, what yeah, you do.
Right.
Okay.
It's a there's reference a, to a different yeah, time.
There's things not a lot of stuff in the M41 that talks about what to do with the CBUs.
Right. I was just going to mention that you do CBUs where you have parcel lockers at the CBU anyway. And so a lot of times this doesn't even come
up. And some carriers have an Amazon locker. They put the packages in the Amazon locker for people to get.
The apartment complexes that have the big parcel. Oh, uh-huh. That's the greatest.
Okay. But those I'm saying so nice. Is that we don't have all that. In
right. It's not in the M41.
In the
M41. Right.
And so there is a lot of things that we got that now. That does not say anything with the old M41.
Right.
It really needs to be revised. In fact, I think a lot of things need to be revised. Like if F21 needs to be revised because it's the old clock.
Oh, the timekeeping, right. It has to do with the old actual time clock. It has nothing to do with the
scanner now.
Where you could like enter the time.
Right.
Dude, that was a nice thing to be able to do. It's like come back and enter the time you started and the time you ended your handoff or whatever.
Now you have to get... You have to do that it on your scanner
as it happens. Yeah. Or do the 1260 so they can change it.
So there's a lot of things that's going on now that does not reflect with the new things that's going on.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of things that management does because of the old ways. We don't worry about like load truck feature. That's not in anything.
No,
the
that's true.
Spam request, the SPM. That's not in anything either. So any of the time the management wants to try to punish a carrier, well, that's not in any of the rule books. So, we as a good steward, should be able to take care of that a lot easier.
Yeah, because show me in the manual where I'm supposed to do this. Yep. All right, moving on. We're going to finish this today in this episode.
How much is left?
15 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
All right. If doing
That's if I don't ramble on.
Yeah, which we'll see. Or me, for that matter. All right. If doing park and loop, do not overstuff your satchel when delivering your relays. Oh, I'm definitely guilty of this.
Yeah. This I don't have to do with
because you don't got CBUs. Right. But dude, I wear a double satchel and I will deliver 50 houses at a time and my satchel is overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
This is a personal decision for me. That's the way I like to do it. I like to make my delivery as close to the feel of hiking as possible. But this is very good advice here.
Also give you a push cart?
No, I don't like the push cart because you have to leave it out at the street. I can't take it up to people's door and I don't like leaving the packages and stuff out of the street. All right. So anyway, remember, you may be doing this job for many years, and by the time your back starts hurting, it can be too late, and any problems could be permanent. Use your best judgment and comfort level for what you place in your satchel. There are multiple options for deliveries on park and loops. You can begin the loop at the address with a package. I do that all the time. I did that today multiple times, which means you need to rearrange the cased mail and DPS to match your parcel delivery point, complete the loop, and then return to that house to make delivery or knock at that house when delivering the mail, blah, and so on. And this is covered in section 323.3 of the M41. All right.
Well, when I was a CCA, I delivered a large package of doors before I started the park and loop.
Yeah. What I'll usually do if I only have one big package for that loop is I start the loop at that address and then just do the circle and come back to there.
Do a circle or figure eight?
Circle.
Okay. Circle. I thought some of the parking loops are figure eights.
It depends.
Okay.
So I have some where I have like two parking loops that start from the same park point. You know, one goes one direction, one goes the other. So sometimes it's like
I was trained in doing parking loops too.
Yeah. All right. Next.
I'm one of the rare ones.
The academy
from my station
In the academy everybody learns how to do park and loop. You just may never use it again, especially here in Vegas. All right, moving on. Endorse undelivered certified mail and endorse the article with the reason for non-delivery, such as no response. Enter the route number and the date and initial on the article and return it to the delivery unit.
Now this is something where we need to stop using the word endorse.
Well, it just means writing on the piece of mail.
Okay, write it on the piece of mail, but I wish they would stop using the word endorse.
Because carrier endorse mail is like ANK, no such number, things like that.
I know, they should just say writing it on there instead of endorsing. Because now that this whole issue with the problem with the political mail, that we're using the word to endorse it onto a political mail, it's like as if you're endorsing that political person. So me personally, I hate using that word.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. It's something that predates us. It's been that forever. I get it. Yeah.
Same thing.
So
it needs to be updated.
On first reading this, why would they even say to endorse undelivered certified mail? But dude, it's so disheartening to me to see people who will put certified mail just in the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
I got a certified letter to me National, and my carrier never even attempted it to the door. He just threw it in the mailbox.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I miss certified mail in the DPS.
Okay. I mean, if you miss it, if it's an accident, nothing you can do about
because sometimes
they put it in the sometimes DPS. The
barcode gets sticker gets on the behind the letter.
It does.
And so I don't even know that there is one. Okay. And here's the thing. Scanners will try to say, hey, there is a certified.
Yeah.
Okay. But you got a package, you got to scan. So you hit the enter or two so you can get scanners.
Sometimes you just pick up the scanner, accidentally press enter.
Yeah. And it goes away. Gone. Okay.
Well, if it's a past certified, it'll still show up on that top of your scanner now in red. It'll say CM1. It's, you know, like.
Yeah. But again.
But yeah, I get you. Like, again, we're not talking about mistakes. There's no here.
Training on that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. We're and not there is not in the M41 either.
That is, well, the training in the, it, on not on to how to use the, like the certified letter look ahead, certified letter look ahead. You are correct about that. Yeah. Okay. So the moral of the story here is, for Christ's sake, deliver your certified mail properly. This is a big revenue.
To the best of.
Yeah. Right. Possible. Don't just throw it in the mailbox.
Because now that, technically to me personally, that our union is not fighting. Which they should be, is that we should be receiving should the certified mail as an accountable item and not in the DPS.
Dude, that's a good one to bring up when I interview like James Henry again. It's like, hey, what's the story with this? How come this was allowed to happen?
Well, it's actually, from what I'm told, that grievance has filed at other cities and they won.
I've heard that as well.
But somehow our branch doesn't file that grievance.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But that should be a national level
because I tried and they told me that don't file it.
Okay, here we go. Next one. If you discover a damaged parcel in the office, bring it to your management's attention. If you discover one on the street, make a notation of the damaged parcel, indicate received in bad condition, potential cause of the damage if it's known, and if the contents are obviously damaged, return the parcel to your delivery unit for appropriate disposition.
Damaged item, I still deliver it.
Yeah, I usually do too, but you want to scan it right away.
Yeah, I scan it damaged.
As, number four and then number five, visible damage. Mm-hmm. And then what I'll do additionally is when I deliver it, I will for sure knock on the door, wait for the person to answer, and then point out the damage, let them know that I've already scanned it.
Right.
And do they want to refuse it?
Yeah. Well, that actually, I tell them to not refuse it.
Okay.
I usually tell people to say, hey, I scan a damage. Right, so... saying that I, as a carrier, as a witness, saw that it was already damaged. So you have the damaged product.
Right.
So you can contact whoever sent it, especially Amazon.
Right. And they'll just send you another
one. They'll send you another one, but they'll tell you to keep the old one.
Right.
So if we can fix that item, great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Often that will be the case. And that's why, you know, I'll leave it up to the customer. Mm-hmm. Yep. For how do they want to handle that. All right. Next. Perform all necessary vehicle vehicle functions as instructed. Pull your brake and curb your tires at every stop where you would leave the vehicle.
Yep.
Anytime you stick your hand out the window to make curbside delivery, you must move to neutral on level ground and or park on hills with your foot firmly on the brakes. This is M341. This is not just because it slows you down and ensures that you don't hurt your arm, but it also ensures that you're more mindful of your surroundings before you shift back into drive and move on to your next delivery. If management tells you this is a time-wasting practice, it's not. And furthermore, it's a safety issue and you do not have to comply. There's another M document here, M994.
So on that, there's an issue. Why would you put that on neutral if you're going uphill?
No, it says neutral on flat ground. Mm-hmm. And then if it's hilly at all, then you put it in park. To me, I just put it in park every time because it takes the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. Just put it in park.
Right.
Yep. And then as far as parking goes, every single time that you park, you're going to curb the wheels, set the brake, put it in park, take out the key, including in a parking space.
Well, if you're doing over the curb, you don't take out a key.
If you're doing out the window, you don't take out the key. I'm saying if you're parking and getting out of the vehicle. For any reason
you have to get out of the vehicle, the key has to be taken out.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime your butt's not in the seat.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. All right.
And then here's what I do. I know this is something that's different.
Uh-huh.
What I do is on the, you know, the arrow key,
mm-hmm.
and I have a little clip.
Oh, yeah. And you put your vehicle key.
And I put the vehicle key onto the arrow
key. Yeah, that way you can't get out with the key in.
Yeah, so that if I forget, it'll pull me back in.
I've done that. And I also have, now I use a key retractor.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my vehicle key on the retractor. Right. And you'll never have a runaway. You'll
never forget about that.
Right.
Because if Mavid tried to say that, oh, your vehicle was running.
Yeah.
You can 100%, no way.
Not a chance.
It's 100% chance that you're lying. Right. Because I always attach it to the arrow key.
Okay, here's an interesting one. This is all, I'm reading this for the first time as well and kind of reacting to it. So it says, make a three-point turn rather than backing up unnecessarily. So I think what they're saying is with the three-point turn, you're going to go forward first. You'll go forward and like turn to the left and then back up after you've gone forward.
And then turn again.
Yeah. Right. If you do back up, get out first and circle your vehicle to ensure no pedestrians, children, or instructions are in your way. That's in Handbook EL 814.3. These are safe instructions that should be accounted for in your route times. It may take longer, but it proves that your route is overburdened.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can tell you that probably 99% of people don't do that.
Probably not. I mean, I do like, so with the ProMaster, it's got the backup camera.
Right.
Which is helpful. But I will like when I'm.
If you get FFV or LFV, I don't think most people do that.
No. And they should. Like at least when you walk up to your vehicle, like after I finish a parking loop, you know, walk up and look around before you get into the vehicle.
First of all, it's totally prudent. There's mirrors everywhere around your vehicle.
Yeah,
look at every position.
The pilot mirror on the back, like it's tough to. It's not.
Then you should position as you can see everything.
Yeah, I get it, but it's still.
That's
not
what I do,
optimal.
So I can see everything.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so the mirrors I have a set of, I can see everything. Okay, except for the blind spot when I'm on the road.
Sure.
Okay? So you have to physically have to turn your head to look. Okay, but other than that, I can see everything, and you be mindful of what is going around that area that you're at. Because if you see somebody walking close to your vehicle, you definitely want to know where that person is.
Yeah, definitely. Okay?
If you hear any kids running around, you also want to make sure that where the kids are at before you move away.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay? Because if kids are missing that you've seen, that now you really need to get out of the vehicle and make sure they're not behind the vehicle.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay? Dude, imagine how awful that would be. Yeah. That's the worst.
Yeah, you just make sure if you hear kids, find out where those kids are before you move.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Yep. All right, next, take all necessary comfort stops to ensure your health and safety. If you need more water or time to fill your water jugs, get it. Do not let yourself become dehydrated because you're afraid to take the time necessary. Take all essential bathroom breaks, however far your nearest bathroom may be.
Yeah, Alan. Bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom.
It's not empty bottles. I'm a better person now, you know. Okay.
I'm going to give you crap.
That's fine. I've been giving you crap.
I know.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. So if you are overheated, sit in the shade until you feel safe or go to your closest business area or area when necessary. If you're too cold, sit in the vehicle until you are safe. The weather is only getting more and more unstable over time. This must be accounted for in our route times, and reasonable comfort stops can't be deducted. Your safety must always come first, and until they put bathrooms in our trucks, you must be allowed to use the bathroom as needed.
Okay. So, as you can see, go to the bathroom. Okay.
Right.
Do your comfort stops. And if any management tries to give you any hard time, you need to notify your steward immediately. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they can file a grievance on that. If management issues a discipline on it, I can 100% guarantee. Well, I cannot say 100%.
Right.
99% guarantee that it'll get thrown back out. Okay.
Oh, because, for comfort stops?
Yeah. Because it's going to violate the OSHA safety too. So
So they got citations here. Yeah. On the M39, it's section 231.1.B and 242.341. And then it's also M document 242.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next, we are almost done with the street functions.
All right.
Accept all mail handed back by customers and pick up undeliverable mail. If undeliverable, return it to the delivery unit for proper handling. If the mail was misdelivered on the route, see that proper delivery is affected.
Doesn't say anything about the one-way mail.
Well, that would be proper
you're making your decision to put it in the EDDM or UBM, right? Nonprofit mail.
Yeah, it goes into
Advo.
Sure, if it's undeliverable, it's undeliverable bulk business mail. It's what that stands for. What are you talking about?
But it doesn't say anything about that.
Yeah, it says accept all mail handed back by customers and pick up undeliverable mail.
Okay.
If undeliverable, return it to the delivery unit for proper handling.
So yeah, what if somebody just hands you back the Advos?
If they hand it back, then I'm going to ask, like, is this refused? You know, what's the story? This is your mail.
So you want to give it back then, right? Because you're not talking to a customer.
If they hand it to me, I'm going to talk to them. What if they hand it to you?
Oh, okay.
Right?
I'll word that different. What if they leave
Michael,
it back
Michael, do you really want
box?
To get into this right now?
Okay. Yeah, but here's the thing.
They have the right to refuse mail, but they have to indicate that it's refused.
If it's a one-way mail,
it's going
to
go into
the U-Bahn. They have to put a stamp on it.
it's not going to go back to the sender, but it is refused is a carrier endorsement. Michael, we're not going to get into this now because we're already at the 45-minute mark. Yeah,
we can talk about that another time, but I'm telling you, to me personally, if it's a one-way mail, like a non-profit, non-preferential market mail, or whatever it is.
Standard non-profit and, marketing bound printed matter.
And if people want to just return it, then I said,
it doesn't get returned to sender, right? It's not preferential. It's just going to go into the Uber.
They said return to sender. Says I refuse.
Those are two different things.
I know. Stop. Then there's got to be a step.
Stop. Another time. There's got to be a step. Another time.
Yeah.
Provide customers.
See, this is where it's good because, you know, this is a lot of questions. A lot of carriers say.
We'll do a whole goddamn episode on that. I'm going to quote out of the Postal Operations Manual.
Okay.
Dude, this is the very near to my heart, this issue. All right. Provide customers with requested documents. So they may want vacation holds. They may want a change of address. You want to make sure you carry that stuff on you so that you can give it to the customer if they want it.
But we don't get change of address.
Yeah, ideally anymore. They're going to do that on USPS.com now.
But do you know why we don't get them anymore?
I do, but go ahead. You can say it.
It's because there's ads in it and it expires. That's part of it. The companies got angry.
Yeah.
Because they were getting old coupons.
The old ones. Yeah. And so you'll see like on your scanner every quarter, it'll be like, please throw out last quarter's change of address cards. But also.
And so then now the supervisor got angry. And so now they just said, you guys can't have them anymore.
Well, they do still exist, but they're harder and harder to come by because we want people to change their address on the website so that we can verify their identity.
But it costs a dollar for that.
So the dollar is so that they have to use their credit card so that we can verify the identity. As I understand it, it's if the billing address on the credit card has to match either their current address or their new address. Mm-hmm. And that verifies their identity as a way to prevent malicious change of addresses.
Right.
And if they do the 3575, the hand change of address card, then at some point they're going to get a notification in the mail that they have to come down to the post office with identification.
Not everybody. That is actually random.
Is it? I did not know that.
Yeah, that is random. Okay. So they'll accept some of them. Okay. And but they'll choose randomly, and so some of those people will come and have to scan it. Yeah,
I've had malicious change of addresses on my route before, and dude, it's such a pain in the ass. Right. So it's good that the post office is doing this, and allegedly with the dollar that they charge to verify your identity, you get that dollar refunded after 30 days.
Well,
or
as most people know, dollar is like now 10 cents or nickel now. Yeah, that's nothing. The value now compared to what it was back in the day. So and that shouldn't be too much.
All right. We're on the home stretch here. PM office. Upon return to the office, ensure your vehicle is parked with wheels. I can't stop thinking about the damn refused mail. It's so in my head. We're gonna have a fucking throwdown.
We can do that.
We're gonna throw down.
You and I are gonna
have
different opinions. Yeah, and we can talk about it.
It's not a matter of opinion. It's in the fucking manual.
I'm saying.
All right. Upon return to the office, ensure your vehicle is parked with wheels curved and handbrake pulled. Mm-hmm. Check that no damage occurred while it was in your possession. Retrieve your hamper and remove everything from your vehicle that is not required or allowed to remain. Remember, this is
there's a mistake in there.
What?
You don't wheel the curb if it's a...
Yeah, you still curb your wheels, even on flat ground. You always curb your wheel
when you
park. If you're
next to a sidewalk.
No, always, because you don't want it to just go on indefinitely. You always curb your wheels. It's in the EL 814. You always curb your wheels, even if there's no curb.
There is no curb.
Yeah, right. But if your vehicle is parked, like, you don't want it to just keep going in a straight line.
All the vehicles are parked
circle side
from each other.
Yeah, I know. And so if it starts
to roll... I don't see a
roll,
single person curbing their wheel when they
if
got
If you
back.
Look at my truck, it's curbed 100% every single time.
Okay.
Every time.
So...
This is why these things are important, so that you know the right way to do it. And there's no citation on that one, but I can say... Michael, don't do this to me.
Because I'm telling you, you go to any post office.
It's not
anybody
done.
Who's parked,
it should be done.
And I can guarantee you 99% of the people
As far as I know, there's
straight.
Only me and one other person who curbs our wheels
now,
every time.
But here's where that you do want to curb the wheel for
it's
sure.
It's also a good habit to be
is,
in. There's no downside.
If the parking is on a hill, definitely you probably want to curb the wheel because you're on a hill.
That's right. Okay? For the same reason. If your vehicle starts to roll, you want it to just roll in a little circle.
See, for me, where I park... It's going downhill. So wherever I park, it's going down.
Uh-huh. Okay? Well, it's always downhill.
And there is a parking curb right there, the parking lot, so that you're blocks up against the wheel. Curbs. Yeah, you can't turn the wheel because of the parking thing if you're parked right into it.
I could do it. You turn the wheel as you're heading into it.
Then you're going to be destroying the wheels.
Then they can change the regulations. God damn it, Michael. You're getting punchy now.
Hey, I'm trying to talk to you like it's other regular
carriers. Oh, sure. You're just playing devil's advocate.
Of course. I got to.
All right, dude. You know
can't
what?
Be just always agreeing on what we're going to do. Says.
Dear listener.
Yeah.
We're going to do a controversial topics episode.
Yeah, you know what?
This will come up.
That sounds great. Yeah. People should send us
the controversial topics that people argue about. classesofmail@gmail.com. All right. So one of them is going to be when the customer gives you back current resident mail.
Right.
Right. That's a big controversial topic. Right. Another one is going to be
curbing the wheel at the post office.
Curbing the wheels. Right. Another one is going to be what if the box is blocked? Do I have to dismount?
Right.
Right. I know what the right things are, but this is shit that gets argued about online all the time.
Right.
And so there's a bunch of these.
Or some other things that we're not talking about. You know, send that.
Right. You know what brings these arguments up. Right. So send me that. And
I've heard a lot. So.
Here's my sacred vow to you, the listener. I am going to dig through. Oh, here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
On a return to sender certified letter,
mm-hmm.
do you have to get a signature?
So on a certified letter?
Yeah, that's being returned to sender.
Nobody gets a signature anymore.
That is correct.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that on a return certified letter, and that's in the DMM, the domestic mail manual, right? But nobody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the kind of questions that I'm looking for.
Right.
All right, so send that stuff in, and we're going to get actual sources on here, not just, this is the way I do it, or this is the way
I do
it.
And I'll make the arguments.
You can argue all you want. You ain't going to argue against the domestic mailman.
I know, but I'm saying I'll make the arguments what our carriers might be thinking.
Yeah, there you go. You can be the voice. Right. All right, so
I know most of the rules, too.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm making arguments for the carriers.
Dude, you're driving me crazy.
Hey, that's...
All right, moving on.
That's what makes it fun.
It is fun. I'm having fun. You're right about that. Remember, this is not our vehicle. Trucks can be taken for maintenance or disappear. We are to take everything from the vehicle, including garbage and our personal items. We do not want to lose We do not want to lose our overly priced uniform items such as rain gear. Scan your return to office scan and record your ending vehicle miles as your office dictates. Then move over to office time. Everything from this point forward is to be done on office time. There is no 5-minute PM office time. It takes what it takes.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Don't leave any trash in the vehicle, especially if you're doing somebody else's using somebody else's vehicle.
Right.
You know, don't leave any trash and things like that. Yep.
It says all mail and equipment needs to come
because
out.
It's also too rude.
It is.
Yeah.
And then I say also, I mean, not just I say, this is the manuals, no empty equipment either. No buckets, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I leave those buckets because I'm going to use them tomorrow. No, that's not appropriate either. And I can tell you from teaching at the academy, we go over to VMF, the vehicle maintenance facility, and look through trucks. And I have seen many times that there'll be empty equipment in the back and there's like mail inside or priority packages I found in there, because you can't see it when the buckets are all stacked up. And that's why you got to bring all that stuff out. Next, and remember, everything from here on is done on office time. Place all collected mail into the designated locations. Dude, management will try to tell you that this is done on street time, but Section 42 of the M41, this is an office function.
Time.
Absolutely.
So when you're putting the A and K, that's
well, no,
all
we're talking about parcels.
Yeah.
Like your outgoing mail also.
Right.
Yeah. And so, like, you think about those business routes that they have, you know, 500 packages that they pick up, then they got to process them on the dock.
Mm-hmm.
That's done on office time, or it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's no freaking way that they can get that done in 5 minutes. The 5 minutes is ludicrous.
When you get that many packages, though, like 500 packages, you usually go to management and say, hey, man, I got 500 packages that I have to bring it in.
If it's an everyday thing at my station, there's routes that do that every single day.
On that, they usually get a clerk to do it.
Not at my station. Yeah. All right. So anyway, return and receive a receipt for any and all accountable mail items in your possession with your accountable's clerk. This includes collection box keys and vehicle keys. Actually, this one I disagree with about the vehicle keys. That's not an accountable item.
Used to
vehicle
be.
Keys. They
used to be. Used to be locked up.
Yeah. So so the accountables are Section 43 of the M41. Yeah. Next, process all undeliverable mail at your
and
case.
Again, this is what ahead. I said. There, some of these stuff need to be updated.
It does. It does need to be
because nobody
updated.
Keeps the vehicle keys as an accountable anymore.
Right. They are not an accountable item. All right. Next. Process your undeliverable mail at your case, Section 44 of the M41, which dictates that it must be processed the same way you do in the morning with your case subsections. So this is one of those things where you may have like a sculch tray, which I'll acknowledge, I do, right? I'm not doing it according to this. I process my mail as I deliver it, and I'll put it my A and K's all together, my no such numbers all together. But technically, you're supposed to bring all of that back, including your UBIM. You bring it back and you process it at your case.
Yeah, I put that together. See, what I do is like A and K mail.
Yeah.
And so as I put it in the box, the CBU, I just write A for A and K, insufficient address, forwards with an F. You know, if it's a dead mail, then I know it's dead. I put a D. Okay.
Okay.
So I know the each letter what it means. And then I throw it in the white tub. Okay. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I just grab it and then I put it on a tray, organize it by F, I, A, D, or whatever. And
on the street or in the
or
office?
Vacation on the street.
Right. This is supposed to be done in the office.
I separate it and then rubber band it.
Sure. Okay? And then when you get back, you can just drop. Yeah, that's essentially what I'm doing too. And that's why, again, why reading documents like this is important, because it reminds us that, hey, that's an office function.
Yeah.
And to get proper time credit for it, well, you should be doing it according to the M41.
So if you're saying that is an office function,
my
whole career in the Postal Service,
I've
been told by the hall that that is a street function.
And I teach it wrong in the Carrier Academy because I know it's a lot more efficient to process it as you go. But to your point, you can label it as you go, but it gets processed.
They told us to do the cleanup mail out on the street.
Dude, this is why this stuff is important.
Yeah.
Well, I would refer you to Section 44 of the M41.
But I'm saying this is how I was taught.
Right.
And in the Postal Service.
I know.
And then we go, and then as a CCI member, say, hey, why can we do this in the office?
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you put all that mail together, you bring it in the office. And management always says you got to do it in the street.
Right.
And then you tell that to the union, and the union says, yeah, you got to do the cleanup mail in the street.
Well, Michael, this is why we're doing the Lord's work here.
Exactly. Yep. And that is where some of these carriers, you know, that's why you and I have to do these things.
Right.
Okay. And if you say where that's from.
Yeah, it's from Section 44 of the M41.
Right.
Okay. You should have endorsed all undeliverable as addressed mail when you received it or noticed it, which is exactly what you're talking about doing, and then place it in the central location. But the actual sorting and bundling is to be done on office time in the evening, not on the street. Depending on your route, such as apartments, businesses without street numbers, condos, dorms, all that stuff. They are to be cased at your case. You do not have a case in your vehicle. Mm-hmm. And any trays or systems of dividers, like a sculch tray, on the street are not the proper method for handling undeliverable as addressed mail. It's just one more way of trying to shift the work to the street and not in the office where it belongs.
Wow, all this time. See?
Yeah.
Even as a steward, how I am.
Yeah, me too.
I've been taught that this was all street time.
Yeah, it's not. Ask yourself, dude. This I really like. Ask yourself, would you rather spend all that extra time in the elements or inside where it's nice and air conditioned? Dude, it's a great point. Like Corey Walton says, I've never seen anybody die from heat in the office. Next, complete a 1571 for any undelivered mail you had to return to the office. This is a must, and we must do this every time. This process protects us from discipline and ensures management can't say they were unaware.
Yeah.
Add any mail that was not delivered that should have been but returned to the office. For instance, out of sequence, DPS errors, miscased in the morning. Retain your own copy because that's the controlling document for all returned mail.
Yeah, so I've had a couple of packages that fell in the UBIM tub that I put in. And then especially like Advil did, I'll be throwing Advil in the UBIM and that and not knowing that the package
fell
dude,
you're supposed to do that in the office.
You know, that's why I throw it
no,
in
I
there.
Know, yeah.
And I didn't know that it fell while I was driving.
Right.
And so when I get back to the station and I've dumped the U-boom and then all of a sudden package pops out, you're like, whoa, crap.
Yep.
And then you could take it to the management and say, hey, look, I missed this package.
Yes.
And
they'll decide what to do. Let management make management decisions.
Yeah. But again, you fill out a 1571, they brought that back.
Right. If there's no disposition of it that day.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So this stuff about like undeliverable mail or some like insufficient address or whatever, if it gets into its final disposition, like in the carrier endorsed rack, then that's it. You're done with it that day.
And this is where confusion comes with the package that was returned. Okay. Because now you say, oh, I gave that to the management. Management knew about it.
Right.
Management forgets.
Sure.
The next day, they blame it on the carrier.
Of course.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so that's where the problem is that, you should. They're going to say, well, you should have filled out a 1571. That's what the union hall is going to say. That's what the steward's going to say. Why didn't you fill out a 1571?
Right.
Even though if it's not, you're a human.
If there's no final disposition of it that day, like a stop the clock scan, for example.
Because and then if you, let's say you scan. Then you brought it back to the office and management's going to take care of it. But management says, no, I don't want you to scan because we're going to send somebody out to scan and get it delivered.
Right.
So you don't scan also.
Right. But
so now you get in trouble because now nothing was done to that package.
Nothing was done with it. Yeah, okay? That's exactly right.
So this is where there's that catch 22. Like you did it one way, it's wrong. If you do it the other way, it's wrong.
Right.
So the best way is that when management says, hey, I'll take care of it, then have a witness.
Yeah.
The best way also is... fill out a 1571.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is where I tell a lot of people, do the SIA.
Cover your ass. Yeah. And this is something also, I think this was covered in the Let Management Make Management Decisions back in season one, where it's tempting. You get back to the station, you realize, oh my God, I forgot a package. What am I going to do? Some people might just automatically go out and try to re-deliver it, but you may get dinged for unauthorized overtime.
Yeah.
Or they try to just hide it and, oh, I'll deal with it tomorrow. You can really get in serious trouble for that. Just bring it to management. Dude, I made a mistake. I missed this package. How do you want to handle it?
Yeah, we're at one-hour point, but I do have a story on the package, okay?
All right, go ahead. There's only three bullet points left, and
so
they're short.
I had a package that came back because it was not part of my route.
Okay.
So I brought it to the attention of the manager.
Right. Okay?
So I give it to her because it's not part of my route. I don't need to fill out a 1571 because it's not part of my route.
Yeah, right.
So I give it to management, so let them take care of it.
Right. Okay?
So my supervisor the next day has an investigative interview saying that I purposely delayed that package and brought it back and gave me a 7-day suspension after that.
Get out of here.
I swear to God.
Oh,
and then,
of course,
it got thrown out.
Right.
But again, these managers, just because she forgot to get it delivered, she wanted to blame somebody else.
Right, shit rolls downhill.
Mm-hmm. So because I give it to her, she tried to blame me, and you know, because I'm shop steward, so I'm going to go after the shop steward.
Right. That was worth adding a minute.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Mm-hmm. So again, that was thrown out.
Dude, I'll also have supervisors try to tell me, like sometimes the barcodes don't match the address, and it'll get routed to the wrong route or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I'll get a package that's routed to me. And then when I look at it, the address is nowhere close. Mm-hmm. And I bring it to management. And they're like, oh, this is a bad barcode, but it's assigned to your route. So I need you to scan it as like no access or you know, some bogus scan. Mm-hmm. And then we'll deal with getting it to the right route. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm not going to scan it as no such number. That's not the problem here. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to do stuff like that. I'm not going to do something unethical.
And a lot of times the wrong barcode means somebody's stealing the postage.
That may be. Yeah, whatever the issue is, I'm not going to falsify a scan to cover it. All right, complete reasonable wash up if necessary, which it should be almost every day. Mm-hmm. We should wash our hands at the very least because the mail and the parcels are dirty.
That's including going to the bathroom because,
you
know, let's say somebody like Alan held on to going to the bathroom and you get back
maybe
to the
station. Maybe I didn't have a Gatorade bottle.
Right. And you got to run to the bathroom. That's still part of your
PM
time.
Oh, dude, I've had times where I have to go and I'm at the end of the day and I'm on overtime and I'm going to go before I clock out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that Elmo gif that says, boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right.
You're sounding like a certain president that I know.
Ah,
when you say stuff
moving
like
on.
That.
Answer any official communications. If your supervisor isn't at the desk and your office requires you to clear your items for the day, ensure you wait until they return. Dude, I have done that. I remember one time I was on double time. And there were a bunch of us waiting to clear our accountables. And we're just standing by the accountables cage, just getting paid mm-hmm. to just stand there. And the station manager goes walking by. And I'm like, you know, Lee, if I had a dollar for every minute that I had to stand here and wait, I do get a dollar for every minute I'm standing. I'm going to wait here all day long. And then he jumped in there and cleared us out. Yeah.
But technically, that's a grievance.
Right. For not having the proper...
Because the clerk is supposed to clear you out.
Right. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. The accountable clerk.
I won arbitration settlement on that.
Nice. Okay. Good job, dude. And that is section 46 of the M41.
I also won a step B settlement on that.
There you go.
I also won the Formula E settlement on that.
Oh, look at you.
I won at least a dozen settlements
on
it.
It's wild how management will keep doing the same thing.
Yeah. And so I try to now, because they keep doing it over and over and over.
Yeah.
I try to charge them.
Uh-huh. Oh, do like an escalated remedy?
Right. Yeah. And the hall says, nah, we're not doing that.
All right.
So last bullet. So that's the more disappointments I get with the hall. Yeah.
All right. If there is no more work, your case is clean and cleared, and your route book is in good condition, end your tour of duty and go home. And we should end this podcast.
Yeah.
Dude. But we have an exciting podcast in our future when we're going to cover these.
It's almost like Corey Walton's over an hour, you know,
dude. But we're under 3 hours.
Yeah, but hey, me and Alan, and I try to make it more entertaining by making those arguments for the carriers.
Yeah, driving me crazy.
Hey, that.
But it's important.
This is something that people talk about or think about. On the street.
We would be giving short shrift to our listeners if we didn't at least address the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, so send that stuff to classesofmail@gmail.com. If you're still listening and you have not gotten the Robert's Rules cheat sheets from me, ask for that too, classesofmail@gmail.com. I've sent out so many of those, and they've been very helpful.
I'm actually kind of excited for the controversial ones.
Yeah, me too. It's an episode I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
Yep. All right, so thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you all next time.